number 3. John chapter number 3. Amen. Let's go to verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Praise God. I have no intentions of preaching this here tonight. Amen. I was looking at something else, and for some reason or another, this just came to me. This right here, as I was just sitting there in my desk, it's just the thought came to me, you must be born again. I said, well, we're going to have a house full of sinners. Amen. I'm glad to see you, and I'm glad I'm here. Amen. We're all just sinners saved by grace. And so I don't know who is going to need this. Maybe you're going to need it because you're going to be a witness tomorrow. And this is just going to put it fresh into your mind. But I want to preach to you for a few minutes of time tonight. You must be born again. Praise God. You must be born again. Father, we love you and we thank you. We exalt you. We praise you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Nicodemus simply asked the question, how can a man be born when he is old? For the Lord had spoke to him specifically and telling him that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I don't intend to get off on this and to make explanation here, but we know that this man of the Pharisees, a ruler of the Jews, a part of the Sanhedrin, wealthy by nature, has come to Jesus by night for one of two reasons. Number one, he does not have an opportunity to come to Jesus because that during the day Jesus is so thronged by people. Number two, it would simply be that him being who he is and the position that he fills, he did not want to be caught or saw speaking to Jesus on this wise. But he comes to the Lord, and the Lord, perceiving his thoughts, begins to go beyond all of that, for Nicodemus just simply came unto him and said, we know that thou art the teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And out of the blue, God begins to answer him in a way that just kind of seems mysterious, caught Nicodemus off guard. And he just simply comes up with, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, caught off guard, says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus, one more time again, says, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Reality, what he was saying is, Nicodemus, the questions that you have, you're not going to understand the answers that I am going to give you, because these come from God alone, and there's got to be a revelation, and you're not going to understand except that you are a part of the kingdom of God. That's really what he was saying when he says he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, you're not going to understand the kingdom of God. You're not going to understand the answers that I'm going to give you. You must be born again first. Praise God. And so salvation, the preservation, or the deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss, or as a theological definition, the deliverance from sin, its consequences, believed by Christians to be brought about by faith in Christ. And that is what all people have asked. How must I be saved? What must I do to be saved? Praise God. That was the very question that the keeper of the jail where Paul and Silas were at asked unto Paul. And he asked him, he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul's answer to him was, believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And so somebody would say, well, how is that? Is that contradictory? All you got to do is read the very next verse. And the very next verse teaches us that they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. And so you got to believe. And that's not all that Paul preached unto him, but that they were baptized. And being born again is synonymous with being saved. And Jesus explains to Nicodemus that salvation constitutes two things. You must be born again of water, and you must be born again of the Spirit. You've got to be baptized. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And we note that the Lord's definition of being born again states this. Amen. So we do not possess the ability or the authority to change this. This is what God said. Amen. This is what God said. Somebody can say, well, it's a whole lot easier to believe on the Lord, but that's not the Lord's definition. The Lord's definition is you must be born again. Praise the Lord. There are three things that Jesus told his disciples to preach. In Luke chapter number 24, verses 46 through 49, amen, Jesus spoke and he said, it is written that that it behooved Christ to suffer and to die and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. So the first two things is that repentance should be preached, and remission of sin should be preached, which is baptism. And then he said, and I send the promise of my Father upon you, and tarry ye there in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so that is the third thing. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized. And then he said, you've got to tarry and wait for the promise. That word endued simply means to put on as having been clothed with, a garment to invest in and with clothing. And so it seems to be that there is no clear evidence or definition given concerning the promise. But we know that Luke wrote this book. And we skip over to the book of Acts in chapter number 1. And Luke wrote that book. And in chapter number 1 and verse number 4, Luke writes and he says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. And so he brings the promise back around. And he says, which saith he, ye have heard of me. You've already heard about this. You heard about all of this concerning me. For John truly baptized with water. He said, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. John, Matthew chapter number 3, John is recorded as saying, John the Baptist, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. Amen. And so the promise is given. And this is not just the beginning of it, because it is prophesied in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter number 36 and verse 26, he said that a new heart will I also give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart from out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And so the Lord prophesied that his spirit would be inside of us. And Jeremiah declares that to be the new covenant when he said that an old covenant would pass away. Jeremiah 31:31, that he would make a new covenant with the house of the Lord, not according to the covenant that he made with their fathers in the day that he took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. He said, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And in those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law inside their hearts, in their inward parts, write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so Jesus confirmed the coming of his spirit when he walked upon the face of the earth. And he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, and it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And in John 14, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come unto you. And so we see that this Comforter, the Holy Ghost, John 14 and 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, amen, is going to come. And it's going to live in our hearts. Praise God. It's going to be Christ within us, the hope of glory. And he said in John 7, in that last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And but thus spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so he said, this is the way that it is going to happen. Amen. The Old Testament said that his Spirit was going to come and live with inside of us. And the Old Testament said that this was going to be the new covenant. And Jesus came and he said that his Spirit would live with inside of us. And so he needed to go away so that this could happen. And he said, and when it happens, this is how that you can expect it to happen. He said that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Thus spake he of the Spirit, and he told them that they that believe on him should receive it like this. Understand and note that he said those that believe on him. And so you must believe. You've got to believe. He said, but when you believe, there is something that should happen. If you believe on him, as the scripture has said, there is something that is going to happen. And so getting before that he would ascend, he would tell them to go to Jerusalem and to tarry there and wait for the promise. The promise that Luke said was going to be the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Father. And later it was noted and said, as the people would cry out, men and brethren, What must we do? There was a question that was asked. As they saw them that had received the Holy Ghost, they cried out and they said, what do we have to do? And when they heard this, they asked it. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so it is noted that that receiving the Holy Ghost is not an option. It is not, well, I might get it. It is not, well, I could get it and maybe be a little bit better. It's not one of those things that we say, well, some have the gift of tongues and others don't have the gift of tongues. We're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We're talking about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And it's not optional. For Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. There is no other way, Nicodemus. You've got to be born again. You cannot sign a church card and become a member of the church. You cannot believe on the Lord as your personal Savior and become a member of the church. You cannot accept the Lord as your personal Savior and become a member of the church. You must be born again, and that born again requires born of the water in the baptism and born of the Spirit by the evidence of the Holy Ghost speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Now we know that it is some churches, it is just taken for granted that one of two things happens. That people receive the Holy Ghost when they believe on the Lord. Believing on the Lord or accepting the Lord accepts the Holy Ghost into them. Others preach and teach that receiving the Holy Ghost happens at the moment that the believer is baptized. And so I looked at this, and the thing that I see that is common as I studied into it, looking into it, I began to read and began to note common words. And the common word in this was that the believer. And so it was that the believer, number one, receives the Holy Ghost at the moment of believing. But number two, he has to be a believer. The second thing is that the believer receives the Holy Ghost immediately upon baptism. But the common thing about it is that they have to be a believer. And so we go to Scripture to see how Scripture defines it and to see if this is what Scripture teaches. And the first thing is that Jesus likens them to two different experiences, in that he says that Jesus says that a man must be born again of water and born again of the Spirit. They're two separate experiences. Notice that Jesus does not say anything about believing on the Lord or accepting Christ. He said the way that you're going to be saved is that you must be baptized and you must receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 12. The Bible says that when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, They were baptized, both men and women. Now we're going to see that they did not receive the Holy Ghost at baptism. It's not just a foregone conclusion that when you baptize that you automatically just receive the Holy Ghost and that you don't know if you got it or you don't know you did. You just have to accept the fact that you did. That's not what the Bible teaches. Because in the very same chapter after that they believed Philip preaching these things and they were baptized, both men and women, three verses later in verse number 15 said, who when they were come down prayed for them, talking about the apostles, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because then they laid their hands upon them and they received the Holy Ghost, which was a completely separate experience from baptism. They did not receive the Holy Ghost, amen, upon baptism. They could have received the Holy Ghost, and they should have received the Holy Ghost at some point in their conversion, for he said that this should happen unto all. But these people did not receive the Holy Ghost when they were baptized. Which takes us into the final part of this. How does one know that they have received the Holy Ghost? Well, we go back to our text where Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and he said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. And then he gives this little illustration that the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whether it comes or whether it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. He said there is a sound when the wind blows. And when the wind blows and you hear that sound, you can't understand if it's coming or if it's going, but you understand that it is the wind because you hear the sound. And he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In other words, when you are born of the Spirit, there is going to be a sound. There's going to be a sound. I'm thankful for the smile that is upon many, many faces as they receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. But it's not a smile that is the indication that they have received the Spirit. There is a sound that they receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, amen, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Everyone. And we hear the law of first mentions in Acts chapter number 2. When they received the Holy Ghost, the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Praise God. The Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. I could stop and I could preach here for a little while tonight, and I may just do it. The Spirit gave the utterance. Nobody's teaching them how to talk in tongues. You don't go to tongue talking school to learn how to do it. It's as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. The key word here is Spirit, and as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5 talks about the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That we got to stay renewed. Paul said, I die daily. He said that though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And so it is essential that we renew that experience of the Holy Ghost. It's essential that we get into that place that we talk in tongues. Amen. And that flows. You know what it's like when you've got an old house and it's just set for a long period of time. And you go and you turn on the water faucet or that fountain outside. And it begins to spring some type of water in there. Don't drink that water because that's not fresh water. It's been sitting in those pipes for a long time. But as you let that flow, it washes out all of that old stuff, that old taste, that pipe taste, maybe that lead taste or whatever is there. It washes out all that. And finally, there's fresh water, cold water, cool water that springs forth. Amen. As it happens. And such is it with the Holy Ghost. That's the way that it needs to be. And somebody can say, well, I haven't spoken tongues in quite a while. Amen. Let's go back to the basics. And the basics simply is, number one, you got to make sure that you're clean. You got to make sure that you're right. You got to repent. Amen. This old boy right here, when I come to the church to pray, when I find a place to pray, I make sure that part of the first part of my prayer is, God, wash me and cleanse me. God, purify me. Forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my slackness. Forgive me of anything that would withhold your spirit from me. Forgive me for everything that would cause you to not deal with me and to talk to me and help me. I must be saved. And when you make sure that you've got that right, when you've got that, the next thing is, you gotta get in the spirit. You gotta get in the spirit. For the Bible said they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. You can't sit there in your carnal ways. You can't sit there in your carnal mind. You can't sit there, amen, with all of this and just think, at any moment, maybe I'll start speaking in tongues. It's not going to happen. You got to get in the Spirit. You got to pray in the Spirit. You got to pray, and God will help you, and it will happen again. Praise God. Praise God. The proof is right there. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There's 120 of them in that upper room. Because there are some people that are going to come to you and say, well, that was just for the apostles, or that was just for the disciples. Well, two things negate that. Number one, there's 120 of them in there, and the Bible said that they were all filled. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, being in there was not a disciple or an apostle. But all of them were filled with the Holy Ghost, 120. And then when you come out of the upper room, there are 16 different nationalities that are represented outside. And the Bible said that they marveled, and they said one among themselves, how is it that we hear every man speak in our own tongue? So there's more than 12, because there's 16 languages at minimum that are being spoken. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then we remember that there is that sound. And so we go back to Acts chapter number 8. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to go down to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says that then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, here's what people are going to tell you. Well, they received the Holy Ghost, but the Bible doesn't say they spoke with tongues. Number one. I'm into that, ain't I? Number one. Number two. Well, glory. First off, they're not theologians. They need to stick with their carpentry work, or they need to stick with whatever. They're not even saved. But you can't tell them all of that, all right? You got to deal wisely with them. They're going to tell you, well, they received the Holy Ghost, but the Bible doesn't say they spoke with tongues. In theology, there is a law of first mentions. And the law of first mentions holds precedent over all other examples, experiences, and such. the law of first mention does not necessarily constitute that it is that whatever is said is the manifesto fact, whatever. It just simply means that the law of first mentions, we must give it diligence. We must come back to it and really pay attention to it. We have to give it its weight. Well, the law of first mentions is right here in Acts 2 and 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. What does this signify? What this signifies is when Luke records it and says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, he defines how it happened. And so he defines being filled with the Holy Ghost. They all spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. A non-theologian will differ. A non-theologian will walk away, will not go back and reference that, or will take that and say, well, that was just for the book of Acts, or that was just for the first ones or such. That's not the way that Scripture is interpreted or studied or done. The law of first mentions declares, here it is, and this is how it's defined. Therefore, when you see it in other places, I don't have to define it again. So when we speak of the Holy Ghost, we don't have to say every time somebody received the Holy Ghost and they spoke with tongues. All right? We don't have to. A lot of times it does. And this is for your benefit, because that's what people are going to say. Well, in Samaria, they didn't speak with other tongues. Well, let's go back and let's divide it down. Let's deduct it. Let's pull it aside and let's see. All right? Because the Bible teaches us that when they laid hands on them, first of all, when they believed Philip's preaching, they were baptized. So the believers were baptized. But they did not receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter, when he heard that they had not received the Holy Ghost, they make a trip down to Samaria. And when they get there and they're having church, they begin to lay hands upon them. And as they laid hands upon them, the Bible says they received the Holy Ghost. How did they know that? How did they know that they had received the Holy Ghost? Because a few people have to know. Number one, Luke has to know because he records it and he says, that's what happened. But number two, here I'm back to number one, number two. Jesus help us. There is a man by the name of Simon. And Simon is watching all of this. And when he sees that the apostles lay hands upon people, and when he sees that they receive the Holy Ghost, he goes down to them and he taps them on the shoulder and he says, how can I do that? Sell me that power. I'll write you a check right now for whatever amount that you want me to write it. I'll write you, you just tell me the number and I'll give you the money that I too can lay hands upon people and that they would receive the Holy Ghost. You know what this tells me? This tells me that there was something that happened that's not necessarily recorded. Because everybody knows that they have now received the Holy Ghost. And when you go back up a few verses prior to all of that, the Bible says that when the disciples got there and Philip began to preach to them, that there was great joy in the city. And everybody was happy. And everybody was smiling. And everybody was just clapping. And they were but the Bible said they still had not received the Holy Ghost. Simon saw that. Simon saw everybody smiling. Simon saw everybody happy. Simon saw everybody hugging one another. Simon saw all of these things. Simon saw them be baptized. And the Bible said they still had not received the Holy Ghost. And Simon saw them come down and lay hands upon them. And when they laid hands upon them, something different happened. It was more than a joy and more than a smile, because Simon had already saw that. And Simon had already saw them be baptized. So there was something else that happened when they laid hands on them. And Simon said, I want that so that I can do the same thing. Friend, there's only one other thing that could have happened to show that they received the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And Luke thought to himself, I don't have to repeat all of this again. I can simply say they received the Holy Ghost, and it's just noted, amen, that they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. It was more than joy. It was more than baptism. It was a separate experience when the Holy Ghost came upon them. Hallelujah. Let's love the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And then we come to the book of Acts, chapter number 10. Let's stand. And Peter goes down and he begins to preach to a Gentile people. And the Bible said that while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because upon the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then he specifies and he says, for they heard them speak with tongues. So Luke is saying, just in case you need me to repeat it again, I'm going to tell you again, just like I said in Acts 2 and 4, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they knew they had the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues. Why do the Gentiles speak with tongues and the Samaritans don't? Why do the Jews speak with tongues in Acts chapter number 2 and the Samaritans don't in Acts chapter number 8? That's because the Samaritans did speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. They had joy, they were baptized, they received the Holy Ghost, and something about it caused Simon to reach out and say, whoa, when I lay hands upon somebody, I want to see that happen. What did you see, Simon? I saw them smile. No. What did you see, Simon? I saw them begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That's what happened. And then Peter commanded them to be baptized. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Why? Because you must be born again of water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let me throw one more at you. Mark 16 and 16. Mark wrote, and Jesus was speaking, and Jesus said, he that believeth, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. John, he said, he that believeth, as the Scripture has said, there's going to be an experience come out. You can't just believe, but you've got to believe as the Scripture says. And when you do, there's going to be something that happens. But here Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Here's for the believer. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Praise God. You must be born again. You must be born again. I don't know why I'm preaching this here tonight. I just felt it so strong. It just come to me as like the Lord just spoke to me. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. And so if you're questioning your salvation, if you're questioning that maybe this isn't real, if you're questioning, thinking to yourself, well, maybe I didn't have to do all of that. The Lord come down to you today to talk to you, to tell you, and to let you know it is necessary. He said, marvel not that I say you must be born again. You got to be born again of the water. You've got to be born again of the Spirit. And so you have been. Praise God. You've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Don't let the devil tell you you're not saved.
All right.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that old devil wants to come in around and he wants to tell you that you're not saved. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, it's been a while since I've talked in tongues. Get in the Spirit.
Yes.
Get in the Spirit.
That's right.
As the Spirit gave them the utterance. You got to pray. You've got to pray. It's a spiritual walk. It's a spiritual thing. Praise God. And when you get in the Spirit, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just as natural as a baby learning how to talk. It's just as natural. And it's progression. It's progression. Praise God. You know what speaking in tongues is? It's very simple. You're speaking in a different language. Paul said in First Corinthians 13, he said, though I speak with tongues of men or of angels, you may be speaking Swahili, Latin, Portuguese, Chinese. Spanish. But it's going to be something that you don't know. It's going to be something that you don't know. If you can speak four languages, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're speaking in five. You're not speaking in one of those other languages that you know. Because it's as the Spirit gives the utterance. So you can't say, well, I got the Holy Ghost and my spiritual language is English.
Yeah.
That's not God.
Come on.
God takes control of the tongue.
Yeah.
We could go over into the book of James and say that a ship is controlled with just a small little helm and a rudder. And he said, we put bits in a horse's mouth to take control over him. And he said that the tongue no man can tame. But when God's got control of the tongue, you'll speak in a different language. And it may be in a language in some foreign country. Or it may be in an angelic language, heavenly, and nobody understands. But that's what speaking in tongues is.
Right.
As the Spirit
yes.
gives the utterance. Somebody said, well, when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus and he went to Ananias' house, the Bible doesn't say that he received the Holy Ghost and that he spoke with tongues. Friend, just read your Bible and you'll see where Paul said, I speak with tongues more than all of you. Paul's the one that said, though I speak with tongues of men or of angels. Paul's the one that taught us all of these things. That's what God wants to do in our lives and in your life. Amen? Praise God. Praise God.
Thank you,
God
Jesus.
Knows. God knows. Why don't you just lift your hands and your voice unto the Lord and ask the Lord to touch you and to help us. Why don't you thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. You got time to push into the Spirit here right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're not, this is not the church. We're not of that we say, all right, everybody raise your hands and start praying. And when I count to three, start speaking in tongues. One, two, three. Amen. That's not of God. That's not of God. It doesn't happen like that. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But when I get in the Spirit like I need to be in the Spirit, then the Spirit maketh intercession. The Spirit begins to pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your voice and pray today. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.